What if you could make a battery 4% more powerful, not by changing the core chemistry, but by changing the filler? Or triple the lifespan of a high-end television display with a simple thermal tweak? This week, we're seeing how tiny changes at the nanoscale are creating massive shifts in market dominance, from consumer electronics to industrial manufacturing. The competitive landscape is being redrawn, one nanometer at a time. Are you ready for the new rules of the game? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking a battle for dominance in the global display market, a breakthrough in battery efficiency that could impact every EV manufacturer, and a fundamental shift in how advanced materials are made at scale.
We'll also look at a major regulatory change from Europe that every company using nanomaterials needs to understand immediately. We're cutting through the complexity to give you the competitive intelligence you need. Let's get started. Troy, let's start with displays. We're seeing massive investments and breakthroughs, particularly from Asia. Samsung Display is making a huge bet with a $10.8 billion investment. What exactly is this technology they're pouring money into?
This is a full-scale industrial shift to QD OLED production. QD OLED is a hybrid display technology. It uses a blue organic light-emitting diode, or OLED, as a backlight, and then uses quantum dot layers to convert that blue light into pure red and green. This avoids some of the longevity and efficiency issues of traditional OLEDs while delivering a wider color gamut.
So it's the next evolution of the high-end screens we see in stores. Why is this $10.8 billion investment, which runs from 2019 to 2025, so significant for global markets right now?
It's a definitive move to corner the premium display market. By converting all their eighth-generation panel factories, Samsung is creating an economy of scale that will be very difficult for competitors to match. This signals the end of the line for their older LCD technologies and pressures rivals to either license QD OLED tech or develop a superior alternative fast.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers, not just of TVs, but of any product that uses a high-end screen?
European manufacturers, particularly in the automotive and medical device sectors, will see a new top-tier standard for displays. The opportunity is to integrate these superior screens into premium products. The threat is dependency on a single dominant supplier. U.S. tech giants who rely on these panels for monitors and laptops must now factor Samsung's production roadmap directly into their own product strategy.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be thinking about?
They need to secure their supply chain. With Samsung consolidating production, panel availability and pricing will be dictated by their strategy. Distributors should be forging stronger partnerships now and also scouting for emerging alternatives, like the next-gen QNED technology Samsung is also developing, which uses more stable nanorod LEDs.
So, what's the actionable insight for executives this week?
If you are in any industry that uses high-end displays, you must reevaluate your supply chain strategy for the next 3 years. Task your procurement teams to assess the risks of Samsung's market dominance and have your R&D teams benchmark the performance of QOLED against your future product requirements.
Sticking with displays, a Chinese competitor, BOE Technology Group, just announced a major breakthrough that seems to target a key weakness of these advanced screens, their lifespan. What have they achieved?
BOE has developed a thermal engineering method for the zinc magnesium oxide, or ZnMgO, nanoparticles used in quantum dot light-emitting diodes, QLEDs. By treating these nanoparticles, they reduced oxygen vacancies by 25% and increased nanoparticle size by 30%.
That sounds very technical. Translate that into a business impact.
It translates to a massive leap in durability. They've extended the device lifetime from 5,400 hours to over 20,000 hours. That's more than a threefold increase. At the same time, they've achieved a brightness exceeding 60,000 candelas per square meter, which is exceptionally high.
Tripling the lifespan of a product is a huge competitive advantage. Why does this matter globally right now?
It directly challenges Samsung's and other market leaders' positions. QLED has been fighting a perception of shorter lifespans compared to other technologies. By solving this critical reliability issue, what they call uncontrollable acid-induced positive aging, BOE is positioning its technology as ready for mass industrial application and prime time.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers who compete with or buy from Chinese panel makers?
For manufacturers of durable goods, like industrial control panels or digital signage, this is a game changer. a 20,000-hour QLED display is a compelling component. This puts immediate pressure on U.S. and European material science companies to develop competing nanoparticle or encapsulation technologies. If they don't, they risk their clients sourcing these critical components directly from China.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to get samples and start testing. BOE's technology will likely be more cost competitive. Distributors should be preparing to offer their clients a new, highly reliable alternative to the established premium brands. Understanding the performance specifications of these new Zen MGO enhanced panels is now critical.
Your actionable insight for leadership?
Executives at electronics manufacturing firms must immediately task their engineering teams to validate these performance claims from BOE. If the 20,000-hour lifetime holds up under testing, your company needs a strategy to either source these new panels or develop a competitive response within the next 12 months.
Let's move from screens to what powers them, batteries. We saw a report from a U.S. company, Cheap Tubes, about using carbon nanotubes to boost battery performance. How does a tiny tube improve an entire battery?
They're using multi-walled carbon nanotubes, or MWCNTs, as a conductive additive in the cathode, specifically for common LFP and NMC battery chemistries. These nanotubes form a highly efficient electrical network between the active material particles.
What does that network do better than the old method?
The old method uses a material called carbon black. The key finding is that MWCNTs can create an equivalent conductive network using only 20% of the material. This means you can replace the other 80% of that non-active filler with up to 4% more active energy-storing material.
So, less filler, more fuel. What's the bottom line on performance?
It results in a 1-4% increase in cell-level energy density. And as a side benefit, the fibrous structure of the nanotubes mechanically reinforces the cathode, which improves durability and cycle life. A 1-4% gain might not sound like much, but in the hyper-competitive EV and electronics markets, it's a significant leap.
How does this specifically affect U.S. and European battery manufacturers and automakers?
It's a direct opportunity to gain a competitive edge without a wholesale change in battery chemistry. European and U.S. gigafactories can integrate this additive into their existing LFP and NMC production lines relatively easily. The threat is falling behind Chinese battery giants, who are already aggressively adopting MWCNTs. A 4% density advantage can translate to longer range for an EV or longer life for a smartphone.
What about trading companies that deal in specialty chemicals and battery components?
This is a major signal. Demand for high-quality MWCNTs is set to spike. Sourcing partners like Cheap Tubes in the U.S. and other global suppliers becomes a strategic priority. Distributors need to be able to supply not just the raw materials, but also the technical data their manufacturing clients will need to integrate them.
What's the immediate action item for executives?
If you're in the battery value chain, you need to launch a pilot project to test MWCNT additives in your cathode slurries within the next quarter. The cost-benefit analysis of a 1-4% energy density gain for a minimal process change is likely to be overwhelmingly positive. This is low-hanging fruit for performance enhancement.
Troy, from products to processes, we often talk about incredible nanomaterials, but making them consistently and at scale is a huge challenge. A recent paper highlighted a method called continuous flow synthesis. How is this changing manufacturing?
Continuous flow synthesis moves nanocatalyst production from a traditional batch-based process, like baking a cake, to a continuous assembly line. Reactants are constantly fed into a reactor, and the finished nanoparticles flow out continuously. The key is that this allows for extremely precise control over reaction conditions, like temperature, pressure, and residence time.
And why is that precise control so important?
Because the size, shape, and crystallinity of a nanoparticle determine its catalytic performance. With continuous flow, you can tune these properties with incredible precision and, more importantly, reproducibility. This solves the major industrial hurdle of inconsistent quality between batches and makes scalable production of high-performance nanocatalysts feasible.
So this is about moving nanomanufacturing from the lab to the factory floor. How does this affect U.S. and European chemical and materials manufacturers?
This is a fundamental shift in production technology. Companies that adopt continuous flow systems will be able to produce more effective catalysts for everything from petroleum refining to pharmaceuticals, and do it more efficiently.
The competitive threat for those who don't adopt it is being stuck with less efficient, more expensive, and lower quality legacy processes. This is an opportunity for equipment makers in the US and Europe to lead in this new reactor technology.
What should trading companies and distributors in the chemical sector know?
They need to understand which of their clients are moving to continuous flow. The material inputs and even the catalysts they sell might change. They should also be on the lookout for new, higher-performing nanocatalysts coming to market from producers using this method. The product landscape for industrial catalysts is about to get much more dynamic.
What's the actionable insight?
Executives at chemical manufacturing and material science companies should initiate a formal review of continuous flow synthesis technology, assign a team to evaluate its potential impact on your current product lines, and identify key equipment vendors. A capital investment in this area could secure a significant production advantage for the next decade.
Finally, let's turn to regulation. Any company working with these advanced materials has to worry about safety and compliance. The European Food Safety Authority, EFSA, has just introduced a new system. What is it?
EFSA has developed what they call the New Approach Methodology System, or NAMS. This is a framework to assess the safety of nanomaterials in food and feed, and in food contact materials, without resorting to animal testing.
No animal testing sounds like a positive step, but what does it mean in practice?
It means a shift to in vitro cell models and computational analysis. The system is designed to answer nano-specific questions. How are these particles taken up by cells? What biological response do they trigger? This is a more sophisticated and targeted approach to risk assessment that recognizes nanoparticles don't always behave like bulk chemicals.
Why is this development so important globally this week?
Because EFSA is one of the world's most influential regulatory bodies. This sets a new global standard for nanomaterial safety assessment. The EU's NAMS for Nano project, running until 2027, will further solidify these protocols. Any company wanting to sell products containing nanomaterials into the EU market must now align with this system.
How does this specifically affect US and European manufacturers in, say, the food packaging or agricultural tech sectors?
It creates a new, complex compliance hurdle. U.S. manufacturers must now generate data that fits the NAMS framework, which may be different from FDA requirements. For European companies, it provides a clearer, though more stringent, path to market. It also creates a business opportunity for labs and research organizations that can perform these certified NAMS tests.
What about trading companies and distributors who import these materials or finished goods?
Their due diligence just got more intense. They are on the hook to ensure that the products they bring into the EU have the correct safety dossier based on these new methodologies. They need to demand this specific NAMS-compliant data from their non-EU suppliers immediately. A simple certificate of analysis is no longer enough.
So, what's the critical action item for executives?
Any executive whose company uses nanomaterials in products sold in Europe must immediately direct their regulatory affairs team to conduct a gap analysis between their current safety data and the new EFSA NAMS requirements. Ignoring this could lead to products being barred from the EU market.
That's all the time we have for deep dives. Troy, can you give us a quick strategic summary? What are the three most important takeaways for our listeners this week?
First, the technology baseline for premium products is shifting rapidly. With BOE tripling QLED lifespan and Samsung investing billions in QD OLED, the performance standards for displays in electronics, automotive, and industrial gear are being redefined. If your components aren't keeping pace, your product will be obsolete.
Second,
incremental gains in core components yield major market advantages. A 1-4% energy density boost from MWCNT additives in batteries is a powerful differentiator. U.S. and European manufacturers must aggressively pursue these material-level innovations to compete globally, especially in the EV space.
And the final takeaway?
The means of production and the rules of market access are evolving in parallel. Continuous flow synthesis is changing how advanced materials are made, while regulatory bodies like EFSA are changing how they are approved. Success requires mastering both the factory floor and the regulatory framework. You have to innovate in both areas simultaneously.
And that's Troy Technical Intelligence for this week. Thank you for joining us. We're here to help you connect the dots between today's technology breakthroughs and tomorrow's business strategy.
To make sure you don't miss an update, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another briefing on the developments shaping your industry.